Parshas Pinchas begins, Hashem spoke to Moshe, saying, Pinchas, son of Lazar, son of Aaron the Kohen, turn back my wrath from upon the children of Israel, when he zealously avenged me among them, so I did not consume the children of Israel my vengeance, and Hashem gives him the Brisi Shalom, the covenant of peace. I'd like to try to take a look at a different angle of what occurred in this experience with Pinchas, who killed the Nasi Zimri of the prince of the Jews, the princess Cosby Batsur of Midian, and in that way stopped this plague where already 24,000 people had perished. There's a pasuk in Tehillim which echoes this whole event, goes through Jewish history in the Midbar, and it says the following, source 2a, capital 106. They attached themselves to Baal Peor and ate the sacrifices of the dead. Thus they angered God with their actions, and a plague broke out among them. Then Pinchas rose up and the Hebrew word in source number 2b, vayifalel, which is an interesting word. Here the Mefarshim translated and executed judgment, and the plague was halted. It was counted to his credit for all generations forever. And the Medrash speaks about the following, the Gemara in Sanhedrin in source 3. Rabbi Eliezer said the verse does not teach Vayit Palel, he prayed, but Vayifalel, he executed judgment. This teaches that Pinchas went to court, as it were, with his Creator. When the ministering angels sought to harm him for his presumptuousness, God told them, leave him be. He is a zealot, the son of a zealot, and a peacemaker, the son of a peacemaker. I'd like to try Mirtz Hashem today to examine this word, Vayifalel. What exactly did Pinchas do, which is not found directly in our psukim, that give us a deeper understanding of the dynamics of what went on there, why he was worthy of having this Brisi Shalom, this covenant of peace. And what we'll see in Mirtz Hashem today is two levels, and both levels lead to the same conclusion, which is the unpretentiousness unveiled. Let's start with the first idea. We'll begin, and the first idea will develop much more than the second, Rav Asher Weiss in the Parsha. Why do the angels want to harm him? Source number 4. Were they angry at him for killing Zimri? Were they not aware of the halacha that if a Jewish man sins with a Gentile woman, a vengeful person may slay him? To answer this question, it seems that permission is granted to exact vengeance on Hashem's behalf only if one's intentions are perfectly noble and his heart is not tainted by the slightest trace of passion, of anger. Vengeance on behalf of Hashem, here goes, must be inspired by the compassion and true concern for the benefit of the Jewish people. It's not just enough to be passionate for God. Pinchas had two intentions when he struck down Zimri. First, his heart burned with zealotry on behalf of Hashem. And second, his heart was also filled with compassion for the Jewish people and the desire to repel Hashem's anger that he not punish them for their sins. And Hashem testified that this was indeed his intention. Pinchas, who repelled my wrath from Bnei Israel, thus preventing me from destroying Bnei Israel with my vengeance. It wasn't just an act of L'shem Shamayim, of kanos, of zealotry. There was also an element here for the sake of the people, for the love of the people, and that's what the psukim at the beginning of our parsha come to highlight, that it stopped Hashem's anger on the people because it was motivated for the people. And this is indeed what the Medrash speaks about, that Pinchas took these two individuals and said, Hashem, it's not enough that you are killing, that you know all these people are dying just for these two people. Enough is enough. Vayifalel means he executed judgment. He stood kivyachol in front of the Ribbono Shel Olam and said, these people are killed, let's stop already. And it was done really for the sake of the people. That was the greatness of Pinchas. Not just doing that act, but being able to stand up in defense for the people. And indeed, as Rav Asher Weiss Shlita continues in source number 5 and 6, he's given as part of his reward that he's going to be a Kohen, a priest. And indeed, the priests have both of these aspects in them. They stand up for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They stand up for the honor of God. And at the same time, they're there for the people. They're praying for the people. Indeed, we know that a person who kills by accident has to stay in the city of refuge, the Ir Miklat, until the Kohen Gadol dies. Why? Because the Kohen Gadol, to some level, is held responsible. Why weren't you praying for the people that these type of mishaps shouldn't happen? The Tosha Rebbe in Avoda Avoda on the next page quotes here the Sefer Tzemach Hashem L'Tzvi from the Magid of Nadvorna, who develops this idea that we're speaking about, that he did Vayfalel Plilos Imkona. He did judgment Kivyochol the Ribbono Shel Olam. Ba v'chatvam lifnei ha-makom, tzur 7, amar lefana ribono shel olam, al elu yiplu 24,000 ish, ubavor zeh v'tatzar magefa. 24,000 people should die just because of them, and the magefa was over. And we see from here that Pinchas did a cheshbon ha-nefesh. He did introspection. Shim yekaneh kanot Hashem l'chut, lo yif'ol bazeh l'sur magefa. Just to be zealous for Hashem alone, it's not going to stop the magefa. You also have to stand up for the sake of the people. And you can't be blind to the people. Just to say that the people aren't held responsible is also no good. There has to be that fine balance of defending Hashem and defending the people in the correct balance, in the right way. And this is something we see later on when Chazal tell us that Pinchas becomes Eliyahu. We know that Eliyahu HaNavi is critiqued for this very nekuda later on in life. That after he has this whole showdown with the prophets of the Baal on Har Carmel, where they all scream, Hashem Elokim, Hashem Elokim, he proves beyond the shadow of a doubt God exists. He kills single-handedly the prophets of the Baal. Again, that tremendous kanos, zealousy for Hashem. The Navi then tells us in the 19th chapter of Malachim Aleph that they wanted to kill him. The Yezebel, the queen, wanted to kill him. So he runs off into the desert. He's off by himself. And he has this vision on Har Sinai, a vision that Hashem's not an earthquake. He's not in fire. Hashem's in a cold mamadaka, a silent, still voice. And it happened, let's take a look in Source 10, verse 13, that when Elijah heard this, he wrapped his face in his mantle. He went out and stood by the cave's entrance. And behold, a voice spoke unto him and said, Malacha po Eliyahu, why are you here, Eliyahu? He said, I have acted with great zeal for Hashem, God of the legion, for the children of Israel forsake your covenant. They have raised your altars and have killed your prophets by the sword, so that I alone have remained. And now they seek to take my life. And Hashem tells them, go return on your way. And part of the things Hashem says is, and anoint Elisha, son of Shaphat, from Evo Moacha, as a prophet in your stead, Tatecha. I can't handle you as a Navi anymore. And as the Malbim points out in source number 11, when Hashem says to him, Malacha po Eliyahu, what are you doing here? He says, Ritzot nomar, halo Navi tzarishim sam ben ha'am. A Navi, a prophet, supposed to be among the people. Lo chich v'lenavot, lo shimpotei b'mibar ube harim. A Navi's job is to be among the people, not just to be somebody who's going to stand up for Hashem's cause in isolation. This was the critique, kivyachol, on Eliyahu HaNavi. And what we find so fascinating is as the Navi goes on to describe how Eliyahu meets Elisha to tell him, you know, time to come under my tutelage and learn how to be a Navi. It first says, let me go kiss my father and mother goodbye. And then he takes the oxen that he was using to plow the field, and he makes a barbecue, and he feeds the workers that were with him. What the Navi is emphasizing here, among many other things, is the idea of somebody who understands the people, is with the people, and that's the very counter that Eliyahu HaNavi needs to learn. This is the balance that you need to not only be, and this is what Eliyahu HaNavi demonstrates, Pinchas demonstrates in our case, kanos for Hashem, as well as sensitivity for the people. And that is, it says in 9a, v'zeu shamar katuv b'kanoa kinati b'tocham, that he avenged my vengeance among them. Hainu shekinei kinat Hashem b'tocham, perish b'toch kinat Yisrael, among the zealousy for the people, that there was here that aspect as well. And this is, again, the idea of the language of Chazal, and double squiggly in 9b, of kanoim pokimbo. It doesn't say a kanoi, singular, a zealot, shall take revenge, but kanoim, zealots. Well, one person's doing this, so why are we calling it zealots? So this is one answer. Zealots means you have to have a double aspect of zealotry. You have to be zealous for Hashem as well as concern for the people. Vayifalel, HaKadosh Pinchas is executing judgment. He also notes, and this is very fascinating, the word pei lamed lamed also is the aspect of chibur, of connection, that you find by the tribe Naphtali. Naphtali Elohim Naphtolti. Chaburim me'eta makom nitchabarti. It's about the struggle. It's about being able to connect together. And that's what Eliyahu HaNavi is doing here. Vayefalel is he's connecting together the two types of kanaos. The kanaos, it's like twisting, winding, this aspect of connection. That he's connecting together, he's interarching together the kanaos, the zealousy for Hashem, and the kanaos for the people. I'll just make mention here, just very parenthetically, equally as fascinating. When you take a look at some of the boys' Jewish names, you find that oftentimes the middle name is just a translation of the first name, and the two go together, Dov Be'er. Shlomo Zalman, Yitzchak Isaac, right? These are classic names where you name a kid two names, and Isaac is the English for Yitzchak, right? Dov Be'er, Be'er is a bear, right? Shlomo Zalman, Zalman is Solomon, right? So it's just a different language translation. It's the same name repeated. And there, again, there are these classic combinations. Shraga Feivel is another combination. Shraga means the candle. Feivel is fire. Right, so again, it's really the translation one of the other. An exception to this, seemingly, is Naphtali Tzvi. You will often find those two names come together. Not always. Naphtali is by itself, Tzvi is by itself, but very often you will have Naphtali Tzvi together. And it's wondrous, because Tzvi, deer, is not a translation of Naphtali. So the Or Daniel brings a very fascinating insight. He says the idea of Naphtali is that it's that winding, it's that twisting, it's that determination that you are going to get your goal no matter what. Right? Whatever I have to do, whatever I have to, I'm going to be able to be successful. All the things that have to happen, I'm going to do it. It's that determination. Tzvi, he says, you know, we have the mission in Pirkei Avot, Ratka Tzvi Gibor Kari, you should run as fast as a Tzvi, be strong as a lion, bold as a leopard, etc. The Tzvi, the deer, is not the fastest of the animals. Cheetahs are faster. They're faster animals. So why do we say Ratka Tzvi? Something deeper here. A Tzvi, a deer, when it comes to a blockade, will try to figure out how to overcome it, how to get around it. The cheetah and other animals come to a blockade, they turn right around. Naphtali Tzvi works very well together. Naphtali Tzvi is a person who has that determination, no matter what, I'm going to get through this. I'm going to have that ability that nothing's going to stop me, and that's the linkage between these two names together. Now, going back to the Tzemach Hashem Tzvi, the Dvarna Rebbe in Source 12, he says, V'hara'a l'manigeu morei derech livnei Yisrael shevachol dor v'dor. This is really a paradigm, a model for every leader in all the generations. Shekasher hador parutz be'ezabidah, when there is a breakage, there's a pirtza, something that needs to be fixed. Lo daivazeh shamanhig yekaneh kanot Hashem l'chud. It's not just enough to fight for Hashem, Shabbos, Shabbos, and scream. Limchod ba'avon hador, ela chova lav l'kaneh gam kenot Yisrael, lamlitz ba'adam lifnei makom. Also try to find favor in front of Hashem, be able to stand up for the people. Ulekarev otam ba'ava ad sheyeshuvo elav. And it's not just enough to stand up and scream Shabbos is Shabbos. You have to work with the people to try to bring them closer as well. You know, it's like the stories of the Rabbanim who see people driving on Shabbos. So, well, you know, and sometimes people land up in these communities that they're not even aware. Like, where did I land? Like, I'm, you know, Mars. And instead of, you know, throwing stones and screaming Shabbos, Shabbos, they say, you know, I want to pull your car over and come over for a Shabbos meal. And that has made people from, right? The aspect of kanaos has to be balanced with the kanaos, the love for the people, the zealousy for the people, and to be able to extend oneself as well. And that is the balance that Pinchas teaches us in this particular case. Now, having said this, he also points out here that this is also important. Let's just move to source number 19 for now. This is also important for each and every one of us. We have to also be strong. And this is the sources that I skip. That part of the issue with the Jewish people at that time is that they were over the top with love. And that's what Znud is. What is immorality? It's love. They judge Zimri for Lekavzchot, for the benefit of the doubt, and the Sfarim speak about that he really believes he's going to bring Mashiach in this case. Like, you could go over the top in love and positivity to the extent that you're not going to be able to see a problem and to be able to deal with it appropriately. It's really the right hand and the left hand. The right hand brings close, the left hand pushes away, and you need to have this balance. So he says, so for example, you see a friend who's involved in a business dealing not so honestly, or a friend is speaking Lashon Hara, or whatever it is. Asur lishtok al davar, you can't be silent. Ki ladun, double squiggly in 19, even though you have to judge them, l'kavzchot, for the benefit of the doubt, but you can't also turn a blind eye and not to be able to tell the truth. You have to have the midas hagvura to be able to know when to rebuke and how to rebuke. And indeed, this is the model of Pinchas. That one word, vayifalel, gives us a sense. From the Chumash, we get a sense of the kanaos, vayikach romach bayado. We get the kanaos, the zealousy for Hashem. Vayifalel, executing judgment and saying, Hashem, enough! 24,000 people have died! You know, rachmanis on the people. We get a sense of the kanaos for the people. And we understand that we have to be able to work on two fronts. We have to stand up for Hashem's honor, and we have to stand up for people's honor. And sometimes that's going to mean that being critiquing somebody, because that's Hashem's honor, and I need to do it in a way that's going to still build the self-esteem of the person, again, being sensitive to their honor. And that's the godless of giving tochacha. Just to give an insight on an approach to give rebuke. It's a very powerful piece there of Aaron Soloveitchik has in Logic of the Heart, Logic of the Mind. He notes in Source 20, we find in the Talmud that whenever people are quoted as referring to the bitter side of their character, they speak of themselves in the first person. While if quoted as referring to the evil aspect of their character, then they refer to themselves in the third person. Thus, when the Talmud quotes people as saying that they fulfilled a certain mitzvah, it puts the word ana, I, in their mouth. Should the Talmud quote people as telling they were violators of the Shabbos or they were rude, then it puts hahu gafra, that person, even though that person is referring to themselves, right? I will forget this as a teacher. I know somebody who has this problem, and I'm sure you know them very intimately, right? But you don't say that, really. You know, and you just play dumb, that this person, and obviously, 9 times out of 10, we know who we're talking about. We learn from this that within every individual, there are two personalities, and every individual is the ideal personality, aspiring, next page, 20b, towards that which is sacred, noble, worthy, and simultaneously, every person is moved by certain animalistic instincts, which lead him or her to sinful acts. The real personality is the one that's motivated by the lofty inclination. This is the ana, the I, the essential inner self of the person. The animal instincts that impel one towards wrongful ways constitute only the hu gavra, the person, a stranger, a trespasser who occupies one's spirit. And that's why the reason so many Jews are incapable of tshuva is because they're not aware of their own spiritual strength. They think that the acher, the other person, that hu gavra, is a real person when it's only a trespasser. The Torah says if you want to succeed in correcting Jews who are delinquent in their demeanor, then do not try to reprimand them. Do not tell them you're no good, you're impure. That's not tochacha. Tochacha rat, it requires you to convince the delinquents of their inner selves. And that's what it means, he says, hocheach tochiach et amitecha. You know what hocheach tochiach lehochiach means? To prove. Prove to your friend that they're really good. Prove to your friend who the core they of who they are. So if you say to your friend, you know, I know that one of your mitos is real honesty, and therefore it surprises me. So that allows them to save face. You know, the story, and I've told it many times, and I'll repeat it, so it might be familiar, is a story that I had going over back close to over 30 years ago with Rav Aaron Soloveitchik's nephew, Rav Yitzchak Shurin. I was working in a school in New Jersey, which served lunch. And one day, he called me to the side, and he said, Mara Smiles, can I speak to you privately? I said, sure. And he said, you strike me as a person who has Yirat Shamayim and Akpada HaMitzvos. And I'm sure you are not aware that the school doesn't check the lettuce. And if you were aware of that, then, you know, you would, you know, I'm sure you weren't aware of that. And just left it at that. So instead of feeling like, you know, what type of person are you? You know, check before you eat the thing. You make assumptions, right? And then that just squashes the person. When you say to the person, your person who strikes me as your Shemayim HaKabbadah and Mitzvot, you say, yeah. And you build the person up. Well, I want to be that type of person. Yeah, I didn't know this, and I didn't know this. So now that I know this, then he's giving me the Bechira to choose what I want to do with that information. But it was in a way of building, not in a way of putting back. Proving that you can be who you really want to be. And that's the idea of being able to stand up for the honor of Hashem and for the honor of a person in one fell swoop. This idea of being able to hold both together, it's really the midah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Kel Kano. This is a Siach Mordechai 22. He's a vengeful God. And he's also Nosei Avon. You can have vengeance and you can have forgiveness of sin. You can have this passion and you can have this love all at the same time. B'nekamasho Pinchas haya chesed v'shalom. Ha-chesed v'arachmim v'adin hayu l'achad. The fascinating thing, in the nekama of Pinchas, there was this vengeance, and there was also this kindness. There was also this love, and it worked together, again, emulating HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is like, we're now entering into the period of the 3 weeks. We have the Kapitel Tehillim, of Mizmor LaAsaf, Bo Goyim Nachlasecha. We have the Song of Asaf, chapter 79 in Tehillim, that Hashem comes into Elohim, Bo Goyim Nachlasecha, God, you know, the nations have come into your Beit HaMikdash, they've destroyed it. So the question the Gemara asks, why does it say Mizmor LaAsaf? It's a song, Kina LaAsaf Ibaile, it should be an elegy, a sad thing. So many answers, but one answer is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, at the very moment he's extracting judgment, is extracting judgment on the sticks and stones, not on the people. That's love. And that being able to balance, which almost seems like two different emotions, the zealousy, the anger, the passion, with the love, how do we do this? And that's the question I'd like to address for a few minutes right now. How do we create this balance within us? Because when a person's in the zone, it's very hard to get out of the zone. There's a very, very beautiful piece from the Yesufos Maruchos. The Yesufos Maruchos from Goldvich Zatzal, his founder of Yeshiva Keren Beyavne. He says, where did Pinchas gain his kanaos from? So the Chumash tells us, Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron HaKohen, he gains it from Aaron. So Aaron seems to be the personality of Ohev Shalom v'Rodev Shalom, the pursuer of peace. So again, how do we see Aaron as being a model for Pinchas? So he explains the following. Let's take a look. 25, the Zayin Anava. Lev Adam Mitivo, a person by their nature, Natun b'tchunot u'midot ha'tvuot bo b'torasha. We have certain wirings inside of us. And this is what the Rambam speaks about, that there are some people who are tending toward the love and the giving, and some people are tending more to the din, the judgment, and the gvura aspect. And different, again, it's a wiring, and you can have within the same family different types of personalities, different types of netios. And a person generally follows those feelings that come within him. Our challenge is to be able to align these feelings with the will of Kodesh Baruch Hu. Because if you don't, then oy vavoy, right? If a person allows their anger, which is their natural tendency, they're hot-headed and they get angry. If they allow their anger just to birth forth, they can destroy worlds, right? If a person has too much goodness, they can also, it's not healthy because there's no boundaries and everyone needs boundaries. So everything, when it's to the extreme, is not good, it's not healthy. Everything has to be done in balance to serve a Kodesh Baruch Hu. And he says in 26, V'ro b'nei Adam tel susim b'nafshotem shalahem gufam migvun rachav shel deyot mishonot zo mizo legamre. And most people go, you know, like from one idea to another idea. It's very hard to live a balanced type of life. Where can a person find this balance of not just losing it and being able? Minayin yishaf Adam, the end of 25, etayachol l'rasein emidotav shalom, v'latei le'eit hatzorech makom t'chula l'shem chaveirav. Where do you have, how are you able to work on the right place, the right time, the right temperament, not to lose it, to live this balanced type of life? And here's what the Asufos Marochos suggests, 27. V'kan anu migi'im, Lutzodan Shodvarim, Hamishamesh Bachamimidotav, Ezeshu, person who taps into any one of their character traits, Hinehu Manik Porkan Liatzer Hakium Hatosespo. You're giving it space for that Mida that's in you to have a voice. She'em Ruchol Shaladam, Shaval Mnuchata, Achitain Bituyel Trunot, Hanafshorim Hamafkopo. Right? So if a person's angry, they're going to need to explode, usually, before they're able just to get back. Oh, I feel so much better. I just vented out everything that I had to say. Right? It's hard to hold it in. However, a person who has the Midah of Tiferet, Misha Zachal Ligabesh Edishioto Lichlau Tchuna Rama Muflagazu. If you're able to have this idea of synthesis, here's the key in the asterisk in 27. Mivatel ka'afara da'ara ta'nid ha'tchushati p'nimi shelo. Ihu legamre lav klumhu aval umafkir l'shitono shel hadat et shlal tchunata. This is the key. What is it? What's the aspect in us that allows us, or that's the trigger that I express myself? It's about me. I'm angry. I need to get it out, either at the wall, at the person, at somebody else, whoever's going to listen to me. It's all about me. And whatever me that is, it's like I can be so self-consumed in jealousy. It's about me. When the world is about me, and the glasses that I use are what feels good to me, what do I need to express? When it's all about me, it's very hard to find balance, because when I'm in the center, so it's like the eye of the storm, it needs to have a way to be able to dispel itself. But let's say we move out of the center. Let's say it's not about me. Let's say it's about that I move from that emotional place to the das, to the mindset, and I say, what does God want from me right now? Whoa. That just took the air out of my balloon. What does God want from me? Well, gee, I don't think God wants me to get angry. God really wants me to realize that me getting angry is about my ego, and I was affronted, but it really had nothing to do with me. They were in a bad mood, or they had a hard day, or whatever it was, or they didn't understand me clearly, whatever it is. So then there's no reason to get angry. Oh, if there's no reason to get angry, then I can come back to acting in a more balanced way. When a person is able, when you ask this every day in Shemoneh Esrei, V'nafshi ka'afar l'kol tiyah, when I'm able to be ka'afar da'aretz, what are we asking for in the end of Shemoneh Esrei, in Lilkai Netzor? I'm asking to be an afar. An afar means I'm here, I exist, but I am not the focus. Right? People don't even pay attention to the dirt on the ground. They step all over it. I don't want to make me the center of my midos. I want it to be my das. What is Ritzon Hashem? What does Hashem want from me? How could Pinchas have two opposite emotions within him, because the emotions were being driven not by his desire. I can't stand what's going on here. I have to kill these people because... So then when you're so caught up, and that's how we normally look at Pincha, as a kanai, as someone who's zealous for Hashem, and it's like, you know that, I hate to use this, but redheaded, you know, passionate and bloodthirsty, not that redheads are bloodthirsty, right, you know, but I have to go out. That's not Pinchas. Pinchas, in fact, asks Moshe Rabbeinu, like, what should I do? He's very level-headed. He realizes for the honor of Hashem, this is what needs to get done. And when it's about the honor of Hashem and not just his own feelings, then he's able at the same time to say, and what do the people need from me? They need me to stand up for their cause. They need me to show them love and concern. And he's able to have these diametrically opposite emotions, the zealotry and the love, work hand in hand together. This is echoing the Haftorah for Balak, the last pasuk in 28. Yigid lecha adam matov v'mashem. Elokecha d'reish bimcha. Let me tell you, man, what's good, what Hashem wants from you. Kima sot mishpat. I want you to do acts of justice. And acts of justice is, again, about the din, the judgment part. Va'avas chesed. And about loving kindness. And that's the other side of the equation. And really, Hashem says, you know what I really want? Vatzdei lechem elokecha. Be able to bridge the two together. To be able to live a life of synthesis. And the way to do this is humility. When we've taken ourselves out of the picture. So now, my friends, we can appreciate in 29 and 30, from whom did Pinchas learn this from? He learned it from his grandfather, Aaron HaKohen. When Aaron HaKohen comes to greet his brother Moshe Rabbeinu, Aaron HaKohen was the leader in Egypt. And now he's told, you know what, it's okay, you've been a leader for all these years. Your position is being usurped by none other than your younger brother. So if a person is about self, what do you mean? Hello? Like, I've been doing a great job till now. My younger brother, who hasn't been on the scene, who hasn't suffered with the people, he's going to suddenly be the leader? Hello? But yet the Chumash tells us, for Rachava Samach Belibo, he'll see you and he'll be happy in his heart, because it's not about him. He understands that if the Rosh Hashanah feels that Moshe Rabbeinu will be a more appropriate leader, great, I'm thrilled. Because that's the person who knows to have that humility, that anivos. And as well as in 30 in the arrow, Ava Sabrios v'ridifat Hashalom shel arrow lo nevu m'ni'im ishiim u'matkanot sh'ani garmam gam amido shitzotam b'mezek rishot alev niv'u etlo ha'kfafot da'ato l'ritzon ha'bari sfara. Even the idea of Ohev Shalom v'rodev Shalom, that Aaron HaKohen ran after peace, he ran after peace because this was the ritzon ha'bari. He was able to lead his life of what does Ribono Shel Olam want from me at any single moment. Ki Arishon L'chol HaShleimus HaNidrashim, 31 in the bracket, He Shalom Bayit Pnimi B'Nafsho Shel Adam Kishu L'Atzmo Ko'od Ha'ani HaPrati Mekaveivu Manier Orchotav Yafshar Shia Shalom Shereh Bo V'Ala. And that explains why Pinchas gets, which is so unusual, the Brisi Shalom, the covenant of peace. And the question the Mefarshim asked, well, I have a little secret to tell you. What he did was anything but peaceful. That's a Mida Keneged Mida. That's a measure for peace. You know, to give the Nobel Peace Prize to somebody, you know, who's going out to kill? And the answer is yes. Why? Because he is the paradigm of the ultimate peace. Because he knows how to make peace in himself. That's the ultimate Shalom Bayis. The ultimate Shalom Bayis is your own home. When you are able to realize it's not about you, it's about Hashem. And therefore, you're not going to be standing up on your honor. I said this, and you better listen to me. It's not about me. So Pinchas, who is a descendant of Aaron, who taught him the genetics was, and the work was, to do what does Hashem want, he is the paradigm of Shalom. Ah, it doesn't look like an act of peace. Know that what was promoting this act, what was behind the act, was all about peace. It was all about creating the peace in the pieces within him to create this this situation. And indeed, as the next page, the Omosha points out in 36, V'yeshlomar sharacha nechona maisim imhei machem tovim uchas hashal mahefet. One of the barometers to see whether an act is good or not, a na alpia atotzah shel ha'maisa, it's not just looking at the end result, ela ach v'rak l'fi kavanat ha'oseh, what was the mindset of the person doing this? Ki kol ma'aseh pula nimdad l'fi shorasho, an act is measured according to its root, dahainu ma'haya shorash, v'asiba sheviyoto l'asorat ato ma'isa, what was driving them to do this? If the intention was good, then we know that the act was a good act. But if you understand that it wasn't coming from a good place, then you have to really question the act. And that's what he says in 39, that the mialdos, the midwives, are granted batim because the Chumash tells us they were yirei Elokim, they feared God. They could have done this for a zillion reasons. It was important to know why did they save these children. Their saving of the children, not just looking at the end result of the act, but what was their mindset in doing this? And that's so important because sometimes in our world we'd say, it doesn't matter what they were thinking. Look, it turned out good. Okay, as long as it turned out well, all's well that ends well. Not necessarily. You have to go into the well, dig down deep. What was the mindset that the person was having? And the mindset impacts the total impacts the result. Has a great pithy line, the double squiggly in 38 of the Chidushei Arim. The Chazal tell us, "V'chol ma'asecha yu l'shem shamayim, and all your deeds should be for the sake of heaven. Afilu l'shem shamayim, yeh l'shem shamayim, ad kan l'shono. Even your l'shem shamayim for the sake of heaven should be for the sake of heaven." Right? So he says, "Hey, I'm for the sake of heaven. Is it really for the sake of heaven?" And this is what the Mishnah Shemin points out as our final idea on this first level, that a Amalek is very into having this tishtush, this confusion. Say lachem ba Amalek machar. Machar stands for mitzvah chova rishut. Is it a mitzvah to do this? Is it an obligation to do this? Is it a nice thing to do? And when you don't know, really, well, why am I doing this? What should I be thinking when I'm doing this? That's a Amalek. A Amalek tries to confuse a person. Pinchas takes a Romach, the same letters. Romach, Rishut, Mitzvah, Chova. He knows so clearly. Sheshalat omidotah v'yada matai laniach. When to do this and when to do that. And that's why the end of our pasuk in Tehillim Vayechshaveh Lo L'Tzedakah 34, Peirush Ha'Maisa Shasa Pinchas Be'Asiya Dinu Mishpat Imachotim Nechshev Lo L'Tzedakah V'Atzala Nefashos Mamish, that what Pinchas did Vayechshaveh Lo L'Tzedakah is counted as righteousness, as something special. V'La'id Shelo Nava Pulato Mitoch Achzarius Chasa Shalom Elo Mitoch Rachmanus Shavcha Midat Adinu Midat Arachamim. He was doing it with a clarity of why am I doing this? What's driving me to do this? And that is, for our own lives, one of the upshots of this level is when I'm acting to stop and to think, why am I doing this? What's driving me to do this? Is it a mitzvah to do this? Is it the will of Hashem to do this? I want to do this? Is it all about me? What are the implications of me doing this? Right? There's some abbreviation for think, which I never get right. You can look it up on your machines. But part of those acronym is all about these things. Is it necessary? Is it kind? We have to ask, is it helpful? We have to ask ourselves these questions before we just say whatever we want to say or do whatever we want to do. There has to be, you know, is it true? Is this what I'm saying? It's true what I'm saying. You know, you have to really ask, or what I'm doing, is this the MS? These are the questions we have to ask. So my friends, level number one, what do we learn from the word vayifalel? We learn from this word the importance of balance. That Pinchas was able to execute judgment, to be able to have rachamim, mercy for the people, at the very moment that he has a sword with these two people in his hand and just did this very bloody act. How can you have these two opposite ends of the emotions within one person? Because he has this trait of anivus, of humility. He has this trait of knowing, what am I doing, why am I doing it, and really thinking it through. And that is the lesson that we learn from Tehillim about Pinchas, that he's not that picture that we portray from reading the Chumash and Parshas Balak and Pinchas. Rather, from Tehillim, we get a person who's very, very thought through, who understands how to have to stand up for the people, as well as to execute judgment. And this is a model for us, that, you know, Kanos, hey, how could you do this, and I can't believe people are doing this. Is it helpful? That's what we have to ask ourselves. To ask ourselves, what would be the best way to be able to bring the honor of Hashem and the honor of the people merged together? What are your thoughts? How are you going to reach that? That's the job for us to do. That's level number one, Ayin Falel. Humility is the key. The second level, the very, very long essay from Rav Eisenberger, Mesillas Bilvavam, we'll just highlight a number of the ideas. He says that Chazal and Gemara and Brachos learns Ein Amida Ela Tefila, that the idea of standing is another way of saying davening. Shenemar Vayemo Pinchas Vayefalel. We learn it from our pasuk. And in fact, the Targum, the Aramaic translation, on Vayefalel, is Vikam Pinchas Vitzalek. Pinchas got up and he davened. And that is something that we don't find in the Chumash, but this is very fascinating, that Pinchas kills Zimri and Cosby, and then he davens to Hashem to please stop the Magefa. The first Vayefalel, he does judgment. Hashem, enough is enough. On the second, no, he davens to Hashem. So again, it's that same idea of standing up for the people. The question is, what is this Vayamod? What does he do? Does he execute judgment and come to Hashem forcefully, you know? Or is he davening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? But in both cases, he has that double-edged sword of Kanos, both for the people as well as for the Ribono Shel Olam. The question Rav Eisenberger asked is, what is Tefillah doing here in this case? Right? What is the meaning of Pinchas davening here? So aside from that, he stands up for the people, I understand. But there must be a much deeper message that Pinchas is trying to convey. And the idea, and again, he develops it much more in depth, the idea he speaks about is that there's a concept of tefillah and koach ha-tefillah, cherev and koach ha-cherev. Tefillah of davening is not enough. You need the koach ha-tefillah. And the koach ha-tefillah is the mindset of tefillah. The mindset of tefillah is, I am totally dependent on you, Hashem. And that's why he says you can have koach ha-tefillah with a cherev. You can fight and be completely dependent on Hashem. And you can have the koach ha-cherev with tefillah. You can have davening, but thinking, kochi votzom yadi, it's all about me, I'm the one handling this. We need to be able to recognize that we're completely dependent on the Ribono Shel Olam. 45, sov devar kol nishma, when all is said and done, diyaso koach ha-tefillah hi abito v'achna mitoch ha-kara be'afziyot erech ha-koach ha-edoshi. We are so limited. Not so limited, we are completely limited. The yidia safachim achat shizgabra satuma neged hatfila hi bekoach hayeshus vagaiva. And where does this negative side of davening come from? It comes from that ego, that I, where I think I could do. So what, when Pinchas saw vayichasu b'ma'aleihem, he saw that there was this aspect of gaiva, this aspect of self. Pinchas understood he has to counter this with tefillah in order to bring into the people, almost inject into the people, this aspect of humility. You know, it's interesting, just going back to 44, before we dive in, we open up with the pasuk of Hashem Svasai Tiftach Ufiya Gitil Secha. Hashem, open my mouth that I can speak. If a person really understood that we were standing in front of the Ribono Shel Olam, it would be hard to open our mouths. Right? We feel confident in ourselves. Oh yeah, we can talk to Hashem. But real tefillah is about such humility. You know, they tell a story, a maisa, of some czar, I couldn't tell you who was crossing over a new bridge and was very excited at how sturdy and how well made this bridge was. So he asked his guards to find out who the architect was who made this bridge and bring him to him. He wants to reward him. So they find this fellow is, and they say, you have a meeting with the Tsar. And he comes in, And he's so awestruck by standing in front of the Tsar that he goes mute until the end of his life. He's unable to talk. Well, this is just a Tsar, a human being. Like, Hashem Sfas, like Tiftach, this is what it's about. That to be able to open our mouths just to stop for a moment the next time we dive in and just to contemplate that. What does it mean? Who am I? Am I asking these requests knowing that Hashem, you know what, I need to ask you, but I'm taking care of it myself, or completely letting go? I can't do it myself. Now, he goes on to explain, and again, I'm condensing this. He goes on to explain that it was specifically in this Avodah Zarah that Vayechasu b'ma'aleihem, that Pinchas had to show this idea of humility. What was the Avodah Zarah of Pa'or? So we know the Avodah Zarah of Pa'or was relieving themselves of going to the bathroom in front of the Avodah Zarah. Then we generally know that the idea of going to the bathroom is, it's brought down in the Sfarim, is about teaching us humility. That we're no different than animals. And it's very good for a person. They go to the bathroom a few times a day, and they realize that, you know, Efshar, Lamol Lefanecha, we can't stand in front of you, Hashem. Like, we're completely in your hands. Galui V'yadun Fnei Kvodecha. It's like so clear to you, Hashem. So it reminds me, like, I'm not invincible. I'm so human. I'm so human that I have that animal part of me. Like, who do I think I am? It teaches a person humility. When a person goes to the bathroom in front of an idol, what you're basically saying is, I'm it, right? Like, I've taken that sense of shame, maybe shame is the wrong word, humility, sense of smallness, and I've just blown it up into the sense of greatness. And I've taken away all that sense of humility. So therefore, specifically in this type of Avodah Zarah, what Pinchas had to show the people, Einod Mavada. Dafka here, he has to daven to be able to, like, balance the world almost, to say with all of your gaiva, with all of your sense of self and pride, we have to remember it's all about Hashem. And it's fascinating that pei lamed lamed, to judge, that's what the root is, we use the reflexive in tefillah. I judge myself to ask myself, why do I really need this? And when I have that humility that I really need this to serve Hashem, not just to look good among my friends or not good because I want it, so then that gives us a sense of why we're asking for what we're asking for and why is it important to ask for what we're asking for. And this is something we know. When our kids ask for something, we say, do you need it or do you want it? And there's a difference between the two. When I stand in front of Hashem, there is that judgment process. Do I really need this? Do I want this? Why am I going to use this? And that's the Brisi Shalom. The Brisi Shalom that Pinchas was able to receive is to be able to bring back that relationship between the people and the Ribono Shel Olam, that shleimus, that wholeness of being able to bring back Hashem into our lives. Our final idea for today. There's a brand new book that I just met. Truth is, I haven't been through all of it. I've been through parts of it, even though it's my summer vacation. Okay, forget the word vacation. It's summertime. It's a new book by Rabbi Yecheskel Elias called Ani Mamid. It was written in the schus of one of the people, a young person, early 20s, from Montreal, who was killed as one of the Kedoshim of Meron. And it seems that he taught this Ani Mamid in the schus of this young man in the Montreal community. And then the art scroll came out and put it into, he came out with art scroll to put it into book form. It's a Yud Gimel Ikri of the Rambam, the 13 Ani Mamids. It is very well written. It is very well written in terms of taking very deep and difficult philosophical ideas and being able to distill it down to language we understand when the concepts themselves are difficult to understand. Like to talk about Yichud Hashem, oneness of Hashem is hard. And he really does an excellent job, in my humble opinion, not that I have to comment, on being able to do this. And the for me, and we'll talk more about this in next week in Mirtz Hashem, another section, so you'll have back-to-back 2 weeks some of his writings, is what's in it for me. How does this apply to my life? And to take the Yud Gimel Ikrim and to see how it applies to our lives, wow. So if you're looking for a sefer over the summer or when Elul comes around to learn with somebody or learn by yourself, this is a great book. To either pick up the phone or have a friend come over for coffee and learn together, this would be my recommendation. I don't get any cuts, even though I will say that people have given me books for me to recommend. And there are many books that are sitting on my shelf that I don't recommend. So you shouldn't think that every book that comes my way I recommend. As my daughter will tell you, Mom is pretty critical. I didn't say what she said I was critical about. That we're leaving in the family. So let's take a look. Ani Mamin, source 51. One of the Ani Mamins is that we believe that we daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that there is an address to address our davening. Talking Kaddish Baruch Hu is not enough. Our relationship with Him must remain exclusive. The idea that there is Ribbono Shalom to talk to is a given. He's talking to people who believe. It's about an exclusive relationship, which means, A, no Avodah Zarah. And what was Avodah Zarah? So he describes that Avodah Zarah was like a shortcut. He says the illness might be a wake-up call, 52, to do tshuva, make difficult corrections when life. It might be a challenge for the person, forcing him to rise to the occasion by finding and developing strength that lay dormant within him. In short, resolving the issue will often require serious work. The other choice would be to seek immediate relief by turning to Avodah Zarah, problem-solving with no introspection needed. And this is the quick-fix solution. How does this relate to our lives? We don't have a Avodah Zarah today. So he says something which I find very fascinating. He says, you know, sometimes people will do things for merit for salvation. They'll go to Kivrei Tzaddikim. They'll go, give money. You know, if you give money to this organization, you will have a shidduch by this time. And we know these things. Yet while these interventions are certainly noble, it's great to give tzedakah. It's great to go to Kivrei Tzaddikim. It's great to go to Rabbanim. Let that be clear. We must understand clearly that nothing and no one other than HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself holds any capability to alter situation. He maintains full and absolute control and has never relinquished any of it. Nothing and no one can force his hand. The traditional strategies that we employ in times of misfortune can, if utilized properly, bolster our case, adding reasons for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to ameliorate whatever issue we are facing, yet they are nothing more than advocates standing on the sideline. Ultimately, it's all about you and him. And that's what we need to know. Moreover, people in distress will embrace all sorts of omens, skulos, other random acts. Truthfully, there's a time and place for skulos. And there's merit in many of the other wonderful practices that are out there. When, and if properly sourced, these are Torah-approved and at times recommended. Oftentimes, however, they can cloud our perspective. We become convinced that the skul alone is the perfect solve for what ails us. I have a problem, I perform a skulo, and presto, problem solved. Such an approach is indicative of basic error in reasoning. We are hyper-focused on the problem. How do I get rid of the sickness? How do I solve the shidduch crisis? Stop. Are you seeing the bigger picture? There's a root cause behind every problem. The problem is the Kaddish Baruch Hu means of calling out to you. Is it a call of growth, a call of tshuva? I don't know, but it's a call. One thing is certain, the Kaddish Baruch Hu cares for us to a degree we cannot begin to comprehend. And I love this line in the bracket in 55. And he most definitely did not cause a pain in order to inspire us to wear a red string or march around a kefir. Yes, schools and brachos have their place. When deemed proper, they're under ishtadlus. If we align our efforts with the Torah's guidance, they will certainly serve to improve our situation. But they're peripheral. They're not a replacement for focusing on what Hashem is trying to tell us. Motor may provide pain relief, but it won't perform the root canal. Think deeper. Think about why you might have been put in the situation and how you can use it to grow. Don't focus on the problem. Focus on the one who sent it. Talk to him. Listen to him grow. And this is the message that Pinchas is teaching us. If you want to really move through life, vayfalel. It's davening. It's doing that introspection. It's doing that ability to judge oneself. And that, my friends, takes humility. It takes humility to say, I'm not perfect. It takes humility to say, I need to improve. It takes humility to make changes. When, on both levels, we have this humility, On the one level, we have that shalom bias. We have that inner peace where I know it's not about me and I'm able to assess the situation and respond accordingly like Pinchas does. On the second hand, when I have that level of humility, when challenges come, I'm able to introspect, I'm able to look at myself and realize Hashem smells like Tiftach. It's not about me. I can't do it alone. Hashem, I need you to help me. You are the one who gave me the situation, and you are the one who will ultimately take me out of the situation. Help me figure out what I need to do to make the changes necessary to be worthy of your salvation.